We read tonight Psalm 32. Psalm 32. The Psalm of David, Maskil, is the heading of the psalm. The text that we will consider consists of verses 8 and 9. We hear the word of God at Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. We read God's Word that far. The text that we will consider is verses 8 and 9. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eyes. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we well know, Psalm 32 and Psalm 51, which we read this morning and from which the text was taken for communion, are related. These two psalms are related because they were both written by David after he committed the sins of murder, adultery, and impenitence before the face of God. One of the striking aspects of the work of God in inspiring the Scriptures is just that. We know that God is the author of the Word of God, that God inspired every single word in the Scriptures. But in the infinite wisdom of God, God did not inspire those Scriptures in such a way that the men who wrote them were as robots mechanically writing what God wanted them to write. That's not how God did it. What God did instead was use the experiences, the life experiences of the men whom He used to write down God's Word so that that's what comes through in the Word of God. God is the author. God inspired every single word. But in His infinite wisdom, those words arose out of the life experiences of the men who wrote them. And this is a prime example. Psalm 32 and Psalm 51 would not have been written as we have them before us today, unless David went through these experiences. God used that so that we have what we have before us in these two beautiful psalms. And in the wisdom of God, that's how He did it, so that we, in part at least, as God's people, can relate. We see ourselves in David, and we see ourselves in the experiences that he went through. especially in these two Psalms, Psalms 32 and 51. That, by the way, is another beautiful thing about the Psalms in and of themselves. The Psalms, almost like no other book, capture so well the feelings, the emotions, the experiences that we go through as the children of God here on this earth. And that certainly is the case with these Psalms. So Psalms 32 and 51 are related. Both of the Psalms exalt the majesty of God, or rather the mercy of God in forgiving us all of our sins. Psalm 32 says, "Blessed is the man that is forgiven by the grace of God. Blessed is the man that confesses his sins and that lives in the way God calls him to live." The beginning of Psalm 32 talks about everything we talked about this morning. Sin, confessing sin, finding forgiveness in the blood of Jesus Christ. But as we well know, the story does not end there with David. And it does not end there with us as well. David and we with David must take one more step. We must take one more step after we partook of the supper this morning. And that one more step involves walking in a certain way. Having been fed spiritually this morning, now the calling is to go forth in the right way. And that's why we have, every time we partake of the Lord's Supper, a special applicatory sermon in the evening. We are instructed tonight in the way we are called to go. Let's be instructed under the theme, "Instructed in the Way We Must Go." We notice the instruction, we notice the way, and last, the manner. The instruction, the way, and the manner. Under the theme, "Instructed in the Way We Must Go." Beloved, a fundamental question that needs to be addressed right at the outset of looking at this text is this: who is the speaker in the text? Who is the one talking? The text says, "I will instruct and teach thee. I will guide thee with mine own eyes." Who is the I? And therefore, who is the thee as well? That's an important question right at the outset of this text. When you ask that question, there are really two options for answers. In the first place, the speaker of the text, the I, could be Jehovah God. In that case, God is saying to David, "I will instruct and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go." That's one option. The other option is that David is the speaker in the text. "I," David says, "will teach and instruct thee." And then the thee are those whom David was speaking to. The thee are you and me tonight as we hear this word from Psalm 32. Now, if you study that question, you'll find among commentators and past preachers that there is a split answer on that. Some people go one way and some others go the other way. Tonight, we are going to look at the text from this point of view, from the point of view of it being David who is speaking. David saying, "I will instruct thee." In the end, it does not matter. In the end, we know the author of the Scriptures is God. God instructs us. But nevertheless, depending on which way you go, there may be a slight difference of emphasis and implication, as we will see. So tonight we're going to look at it from the point of view of it being David. But But we don't say that without certain grounds. There are reasons that we say that David is the speaker in the text. In the first place, there's nothing in the text that indicates a change. Everything in the beginning of Psalm 32 points to the fact that it's David that's speaking. And then we come to verse 8, and it continues, I. Now it's true that there is a Selah at the end of verse 7, which indicates some sort of break. But that in and of itself does not warrant such a jump, because it would only be by implication that it would change from David to God. The clearest, simplest, on-the-surface reading of the text makes David the speaker in the text. That in the first place. In the second place, Psalm 32 is a psalm of David, the heading says, and then it says, maskil. That word maskil literally refers to the fact that the purpose of this psalm is instruction. David wrote Psalm 32 for the very specific purpose of instructing those who would hear it. So the whole psalm is a psalm of instruction. And now we get to verses 8 and 9, and David zeroes in on that and says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to instruct and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. And in the third place, this makes sense to have David as the speaker in light of what he says in the parallel Psalm 51. He says in Psalm 51, verse 13, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. There in Psalm 51, David says exactly what he now does in Psalm 32. I will teach in transgressors the way they should go. And now he gets to Psalm 32, and that's what he does. Okay, David is the speaker in the text. David says, I will instruct thee. In the end, it doesn't matter because God is the author of the Scriptures. But it's a point worth making, because God is the author of the Scriptures, and now He teaches us through the mouth of David. Why do we say all that? To get to this point. Very simply, those who go through a certain experience are qualified to teach others in the way they should go. Think about it this way. A professor in a medical school can teach about open heart surgery. He can read all of the material on the heart and on surgery on the heart. And he may be very well qualified to teach students about performing open heart surgery. Maybe very qualified, but he lacks something. If it's the case that that professor never himself performed open heart surgery. If you actually do it, it qualifies you in a special way to teach others about that same thing. You can say that about any profession and any job, really. That, by the way, is one of the reasons that in our seminary, the professors are former pastors. We do that because we believe we're mandated by Scripture to do that. Pastors teach pastors. But there's a very practical side to that as well. They went through the ministry. They understand it in a special way, so that they're qualified in a special way to teach others about what they will experience when they enter the ministry. Catechism teaching and pastoral work. Preaching. Even dogmatics, taking dogmatics and applying them to the lives of God's people. But the point is this. David went through something in his life. Sin, impenitence, forgiveness. And that qualified him in a special way now to say what he does in this text. Understanding all of that, now I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. David is a qualified teacher tonight. We learn from him, and we learn from his experiences. Let's not lose sight of how this may apply to us tonight. You may be a David when it comes to a certain experience in your life. You go through something, a heavy trial, let's say, and you experienced in a special way the grace and the mercy of God, and you see a brother or a sister going through that same thing that you went through. You're qualified in a special way to help that saint in the church. Now, there are limitations there. You can't do everything always. But nevertheless, as a member of the church, we must always think outside of ourselves. Not just, that's what I went through, but think about that along the lines of then being qualified to help others. That's what it means to be members of the church, to love and to care for one another. That was David, qualified teacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says in the text, I will instruct thee and teach thee, and I will guide thee with mine own eye. Before we get to the content of the instruction itself, we should say some things about the actual activity of instructing. We're forced to do that from the text because David in the text uses three different words to explain that instruction. He uses the word instruct, teach, and guide. When you look at those words, it impresses upon us the importance of this activity of instruction. David says in the first place, I will instruct thee. That word instruct literally means to be prudent. And to be prudent very simply means to be wise. That word instruct is the same root word as the heading of the psalm, maskil. Those are basically the same two words. The idea is wisdom. I will instruct thee. In other words, I will impart wisdom to thee. And what's wisdom all about? Wisdom is always practical. Wisdom is always doing. Doing everything to the great end, the highest end, of the glory of God's name. David says, I will instruct thee, I will impart wisdom to thee, so that by what you do, you bring glory to God's name. But that doing, everything we do, stands on top of a foundation. And that foundation is our knowledge. And that's the second word. I will teach thee. There the emphasis is on the facts, the truth, the knowledge that we must have in our minds, on the basis of which we do things to the glory of God's name. And then he says in the third place, I will guide thee. And there literally it says, I will counsel thee, or I will help thee. Very simply, David says, I'm not going to just leave you to do this on your own. I'm going to be by your side. I'm going to take you by the arm and give you help to carry out what I tell you to do in walking in the way that we are called to walk. It's a thorough instruction. Teach the facts so that we might be wise, doing everything to God's glory and guiding along the way. David does that for us tonight. He teaches us from God's Word. But David is no longer with us. But never forget that the one to whom David pointed, the Lord Jesus Christ, is with us. He is always with us. So that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that through His Word always teaches, instructs, and guides. That's the activity of the instruction. But now we need to go to the next step and see the instruction itself, the content of the teaching. And the content of the teaching of David is in the way that thou shalt go. The text says, I will teach and instruct thee in the way which thou shalt go. He uses a figure there. Our lives are a way or a journey. The implication is that there is a wrong way, many wrong paths that we can walk upon. David says, you must walk on the right path. There's one path especially that thou art called to walk on, and it's the path that leads to eternal life. What is that path? What is that path, especially having partaken of the Lord's Supper this morning? It's the path, in the first place, of continually acknowledging and confessing our sins. Everything we talked about this morning and last week, Sunday evening, from Professor Kaminga, self-examination, looking at ourselves and acknowledging our sins. Beloved, that is not a one-time deal. You know that. It would be a one-time deal if we sinned once, confessed that sin, and never sinned again. But you as well as I know that that's the farthest thing from the case. Our old man is always with us so that we're always sinning. And so the path that we must walk upon is the path of lifelong confession. Lifelong acknowledging sin. Lifelong seeking forgiveness in the blood of Jesus Christ. But then the second aspect of the path is the way of holiness and thankfulness. And that's what David probably has on mind especially. The first part of the psalm is that first point we made a couple of seconds ago. Confession, forgiveness. And now he moves on. How do you go forward from that? You go forward from that by living a holy and a thankful life. A life that every single day looks to God's Word and strives to follow that Word. Doesn't matter what we're doing, children at school, mothers in the home, fathers at work. The thankful life is a holy life in obedience to the Word of God. That's the path. That's the way that we walk in response to what we celebrated this morning in the Lord's Supper. But we will only walk in that way if we are instructed and taught in that way. David says in the text tonight, I will teach and instruct thee. Beloved, that does nothing to us, no good for us, unless our response tonight is, I will receive that instruction. We will never walk in this way that we are called to walk in unless we receive the teaching and instruction. That teaching and instruction comes from many places. It comes especially in the preaching of the Word. Beloved, let us be zealous to hear the preaching of the gospel. We will not walk in this way unless we sit under the preaching of the Word. It's a sad state of affairs in the church world today where the preaching is neglected. And we don't say that to be lifted up in pride, but all that does is humble us. It must humble us. Humble us in a powerful way, so that we never take for granted the fact that here we are At 5:55 on a Sunday night, with a full sanctuary listening to the preaching of the Word. But the time to hear about that is not when the sanctuary is half full, but now while we have it, so that we're encouraged in it. That's the Word tonight. You come with encouragement to continue in this way, to continue to avail yourself to the teaching and instruction, because this is where it happens in a powerful way from week to week in the preaching of the gospel. The danger, though, for us is that we are here, but that we're not really here. We're here, but our minds are on this, or our minds are on that, so that we don't come with the focus that we must have when we enter into the courts of God. That's the danger for many of us. The danger for some of us is that we don't come. And that must be said tonight as well. Let us come to God's house to hear the way in which we are to walk, the way of holiness and gratitude. Let us be here so that we hear that from Sabbath to Sabbath. Because when you're here, the eye of the text is not a man, but the eye of the text is the Lord Jesus Christ. You neglect the preaching. You neglect the one whose word it is, and that's Christ. Christ instructs us. Christ teaches us. Christ guides us from Sabbath to Sabbath through the preaching of the word and the way we are to go. If we will walk in that way, we must hear that preaching. In the second place, we avail ourselves to instruction in the way we are called to walk through the work of the elders. Remember that too, congregation. The elders stand as representatives of Christ and bring Christ's word. And so you receive that word of the elders, and you receive the elders themselves. When it comes down to it, beloved, this is their work. Right here. Everything they do has this as their purpose, so that each one of us here, under their care, do this. Walk in the way we are called to walk. And so receive them. If it comes with encouragement, receive that encouragement. If it comes with admonition, receive that admonition, so that this takes place. We walk in the way we are called to walk. Are you listening, children, tonight? Yes, this is applicatory, which means that there's a special word for those who partook of the Lord's Supper, but that doesn't mean we can't say something to you children tonight. Are you listening? God tells you to live in a certain way. And how does He teach you to live according to His commandments? Through your parents. Children, listen to your parents. Obey your parents. And walk in what the way that God calls you to walk in. A way that's well-pleasing to Him. And beloved, we want to walk in this way because it's the path that leads to eternal life. Because ultimately the way is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. What did Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way to eternal life is on the path that goes to Calvary. And so, beloved, every single day, walk that path. Walk that path straight to Calvary so that you see your Savior, Jesus Christ, as the one who has forgiven you all of your sins. That's the way, and there's a certain manner in which we walk in that way. And that's verse 9. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto you. In verse 8, David instructs us about the way. And now in verse 9, he continues that instruction by giving the negative manner in which we walk in this way. Not as a stubborn horse or mule, but the positive is that we walk in this way willingly and joyfully. The horse and the mule wouldn't do that. The one who wants that horse or mule to go on this path can only get that horse or mule to do that with those instruments, the bit and the bridle. They're stubborn. They'll go this way, they'll go that way, they'll do whatever they want, but they won't go in the way that they are supposed to go. And so the owner uses the bit and the bridle. The bridle, the headpiece, the harness. I hope I have this right. There are here tonight that could speak much more intelligently about this. The bridle, the headpiece, the bit, the small piece placed in the horse or mule's mouth. Uses that to control the beast, to get them to go on the right path, because they wouldn't without it. They're stubborn. But understand, that's you. And that's me. We're just as stubborn. Just as stubborn in walking in this way. Because on this side of the grave, we still have that old man of sin. There we were this morning, partaking of the Lord's Supper. And how soon after that, when we're on a spiritual high, because that's what it does for us. It's a beautiful morning for us when we partake of the Lord's Supper. It doesn't take very long after that. Maybe in this afternoon. Already then we're tempted on the Lord's Day to do what we are not called to do on the Lord's Day. Because we still have that old man. It's always with us. And that old man is stubborn like a horse or a mule. Doesn't want to go in the way we're called to go. That's us. And David understood that. No understanding in and of ourselves, and only by God's grace. Only by God's grace that our sins are forgiven in the first place. Only by God's grace that we see our sin and acknowledge that sin. Only by God's grace that we seek forgiveness from those sins. And beloved, it's the same with this. Only by the grace of God do we go forth in this way. Pray to God that we might not be as the stubborn horse or mule, but that we go forth willingly. That's the Christian life. There's freedom, there's liberty in the life of the Christian, so that every single day, by the grace of God, we wake up and we say, I willingly and I joyfully bear the cross that Christ has given me. I willingly and joyfully walk according to His Word. I may be mocked. I may be ridiculed. But I don't care. Because God is my God. Jesus Christ is my Savior. And this is what He has called me to do. Live in the way of holiness and thankfulness. Beloved, it's been a wonderful day for us. Partaking of the Lord's Supper. Spiritually confirming our faith and strengthening that faith. And this week that lies ahead of us, let's avail ourselves to the means of instruction, His Word daily. The rest of our lives, the preaching of the gospel, the work of the church, for some of us this week, family visitation. Avail ourselves to all of those means so that joyfully, willingly, we do, in fact, walk in the way God has called us to walk. Holiness and thankfulness. Amen. Our Father and God in heaven, we thank Thee for this Word, for this instruction that we could receive tonight from Thy Word. And now we pray, apply it unto our hearts and lives, so that we do, not like the horse or mule stubbornly, but willingly, joyfully, serve Thee according to Thy Word. Forgive even what was said or heard in sin in this evening. For Jesus' sake, amen.